Good morning, Crossroads. Sorry, I had to shed a layer. Got a little sweaty. For those who don't know me, my name is Nate. I'm the worship leader here. And I get to share the Word of God with you this morning. I'm really excited to share this passage with you and to share the challenges and the truths that God laid on my heart as I studied for this week. Last week, Pastor Matt, he spoke of the man who was healed of his leprosy. I believe his name, I don't know if Matt mentioned this in his message, but his name is actually Josiah Ratfingers. If you're not laughing right now, if you don't know what that means, you need to listen to last week's message. He had the rat fingers, if you remember. Matt's laughing. That's all right. I got one. But seriously, he talked about being in a desperate situation and how Jesus stepped into his mess to cleanse him, which reveals how far our Savior is willing to go to save us. There isn't anything he can't do or will do or won't do, excuse me. Sometimes we face things in life like that and we're challenged to think about the ways that God has worked in our lives in those situations of seemingly impossible circumstances. I think we can all relate to that. I personally recently had an issue. It wasn't an emergency. It wasn't a relationship issue. It wasn't a spiritual issue. It was a practical problem that I was dealing with. I have a next-door neighbor. We get along great. But about 2 years ago when we had the really bad storms, the winds and the rains, half of his tree fell, hit his house, then hit our fence. And for the last couple of years, we've been holding it together with duct tape and a couple screws. And it's just in really, really sad shape. I needed to build a fence. I don't build fences. I work on cars. And it's a different, whole nother animal. I priced what it would be to have a professional do it, and it was way out of our price range. So the two of us got together and was like, well, I think we need to build a fence. Do you know how to build a fence? No. Do you know how to build a fence? No. All right, well, let me see what I can do. And so my initial reaction was to watch YouTube videos and to become an expert by watching videos on how to build a fence. I watched hours and hours of videos and still felt like there's no way I'm going to do this on my own. I need to find some people that know what they're doing. Stacy and I talked about it a lot, prayed about it. It was really, without me realizing it, it had really become a burden on just my everyday life. I'd come home and I'd see that fence and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, whose fence is this? And the people that live at this house. But after praying about it and talking, I was encouraged by Stacy. She's like, why don't you reach out? You know people that know how to do this. And I was like, well, I feel bad. Like, that's a big job. Like, I don't want to ask people to build a fence for me. But I was encouraged to reach out. I needed to admit, you know, I need help. I need help here. I reached out to a few friends here in the church. And my offer was for a hard job, a hard day's work, or two or three. I didn't know how long it would take. I would be willing to give them donuts, cold drinks, and maybe even lunch. And that was my pathetic offer to them. So I initially reached out to about four guys. And I was like, well, if any of them can't do it, I'll find some other people to ask. But the people I reached out to all gave me a weekend that worked for them, and were willing to do it. To my, not really surprise, I knew the guys that they were, but I was still like super blessed that they would be willing to give up time to do that. The day we settled on was actually yesterday. So here's us. So can I go up here, Don, all the way? Okay. I wasn't planning on doing this, but yeah, this is the old fence. And That's actually the best section that we had, actually. I mean, the whole thing was falling apart. Jefferson's been to my house to do some construction work, so he knows how bad that fence is. And so this is, there on the left is Michael Diaz Upton and Micah. And then down at the bottom, you can see Matt and Steven. They're joking about something, but I want to be clear. They worked. I was kind of surprised that I caught anybody not doing something, so I had to snap a pic. But there's Steven cutting something on the bottom left. There's Matt. He's actually pretending to cut for the picture, and then after the picture, he cut the thing off. But I just want to proclaim to you that I now stand before you a man that's no longer in need of a new fence. And so here's what these guys did. Seven hours, they got this thing up. I was blown away. I this morning I looked out the window and I was like, man, look how straight that fence is. What an encouragement. There's still another side that I need to do, but now the side that the people can see, yeah, that was awesome. It's good to have some friends that you can reach out to. I did tell them yesterday, I was probably going to talk about this today when I spoke, and so they're not going to get a reward for this in heaven. They got their credit now. Today we're going to talk about the impact that friends can have on each other's lives in our series, Live to Serve. Let's turn to Mark chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. It's up on the screen if you need it. When he entered Capernaum, talking about Jesus, again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway, and he was speaking the message to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four men. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof from where he was. And when they had broken through the roof, they lowered the mat to which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." These men, man, I try to put myself in the setting of Jesus coming to town and what that must have felt like for those waiting for the Messiah. I can't imagine their excitement when they found that he was in town. They probably really wanted to just be there front row hearing him teach. But this story shows us that they thought more about their friend. I've tried to imagine what they were thinking. I think it would have been easy for them to go to him and say, "Listen, I know you want to be healed, but man, it's going to be packed there. And besides, we don't want to interrupt his teaching. I'm sure there's going to be another chance for you to see him. I mean, do you mind if we go? Like, if we can get a good seat if we go without you, and you know, this is like kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity." It wasn't convenient for them to think about their friend, was it? But that's not what they did, right? The Word of God shows us what they did. I don't know which group they belonged to in their discovery hour at their synagogue, but these men had real faith. They weren't going to let a little thing like a ton of people or even a roof to get in the way of getting their friend to Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love that Mark records Jesus seeing their faith, that he tells him, "Your sins are forgiven." It wasn't just the man who was in need of healing, who couldn't walk. He saw the faith of the group together. How long have they been praying for their friend? I wonder. But it is curious that he said, "Your sins are forgiven," not "You're healed," right? there are certainly those that were in that room that were thinking the same way. Let's move on to verse 6. But some of the scribes were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Right away, Jesus understood in his spirit what they were thinking. Understood in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves, and said to them, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, pick up your mat, and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, Jesus told the paralytic, I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home. Immediately he got up, picked up the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded, and they gave glory to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. There's a couple observations in this passage. You know, as if Jesus reading these scribes' minds wasn't enough to, like, convince somebody that he had real power. If that wasn't enough to show who he was, he also called himself the Son of Man. These scribes knew what he was referring to. Daniel talks about the Son of Man. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Daniel records, this is a vision that he had. I continued watching in the night visions, and I saw one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was escorted before him. So escorted before God the Father. He was given authority to rule and glory and a kingdom so that those of every people, nation, and language serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. So he has been given authority by the Father in this picture. So these scribes, for them to think of him as being blasphemous, he not only forgave sins, but now he's claiming to be the Son of Man. So there's no question in their minds who he's claiming to be. He is claiming to be the Messiah. He is claiming to be Jesus. Well, he is Jesus. He's claiming to be God. Jesus revealed the wickedness of their hearts. He declared that he was the Son of Man, that he holds all authority, and he proved it wasn't tricks or empty talk, because then he goes on to heal the paralytic man. That font's a little small. Can you read it? Sorry. That's my fault. Looked real big on my computer screen. This is a thought I had when I was studying. The heart, heartened by a lack of faith, will never accept a miracle as anything more than a coincidence or maybe good luck. There's always a way to try to explain it away if you're not open to who Jesus is. Jesus is constantly working miracles in our lives and in the lives of those around us. But what is the attitude of your heart? What's the attitude of my heart toward Jesus working miracles in you or even through you? We're going to come back to that. See, in this story, glory to God started with the faith of friends. It started with them being together with their friend before Jesus ever came to town and praying for a miracle. praying that something would happen so that their friend could walk or be more comfortable. I don't know the specific things they asked for. I imagine over time, maybe they got more bold in their requests. And when they heard the stories of what Jesus was already starting to do, maybe that's where hope really grabbed hold in their hearts. Everything that Jesus has done in the Word of God, that's all recorded to strengthen our faith, to give us confidence that He is who He says He is. The story, it tells us at the end of verse 12 that it brings glory to God because it's all about His glory. It's all about bringing God the glory that He deserved. He created us in this world for His glory. He's gracious to us for His glory. He saves us for His glory. He restores us for His glory. He disciplines us for His glory. He gives and He takes away for His glory. And one day, all of the redeemed will be in His presence for His glory. Amen. We need friends who bring us to Jesus. And we need to be a friend that takes others to Jesus. The paralytic man needed friends to take them. And they needed to be obedient to God and do it. And they did, and look what happened. I've been fortunate to witness this kind of friendship over the years firsthand. I've seen it in many people in my life. I've been blessed to be surrounded by a lot of people that God has just used, and they've allowed Him to use them for remarkable things. But I want to specifically talk about a specific pair of friends. This is a, what did you call me, Stacy? Awesome. This is my awesome wife and her friend, who's, I mean, I'm not going to say she's not awesome. She's awesome too. Stacy and Amy, and they like to call themselves besties. I think that's probably a girl thing. You have a special name for your friends or whatever. And been all kinds of places. They did learn when I asked for some pictures that they don't really take a lot of pictures together. But this is Stacy and Amy. When we came to this church about 17 years ago or so, what started as a kind of like, we go to the same church, and our kids seem to be playing sports together, so let's hang out. It really developed into a Christ-centered, God-honoring, a real friendship. They've been together on mountaintops, and they've walked together through some real dark journeys. As I was thinking about their friendship, Matt last week shared about Amy's back issue, and I can remember Stacy, like, it like would keep her up at night, like praying for her, thinking about her, being concerned for her. What stood out to me is just the way they encourage each other, challenge each other, send notes to each other. I mean, all kinds of things. They really have been just a strength for each other that God has used in their lives to sustain them through things that are really hard to get through. But I don't want you to get the wrong idea. They aren't perfect. This is their big weakness. Stacy doesn't know what I'm going to say, but I told her I wouldn't be in trouble after I say this. They are both notorious for being off in the middle of summer with nothing to do, and each of them at their own house thinking, I'd love to hang out with the other person. But neither calls the other because they're afraid they might be bothering them. That has happened, I can't even count how many times. And then when they get together, well, why didn't you call me? So that's their big weakness. But it's really been an encouragement for me and Matt to see that modeled in, you know, day after day in their lives. So again, I already said this once, we need friends who bring us to Jesus, and we need to be a friend that takes others to Jesus. The Word of God, it talks about friendship a lot. I'm going to put up Ecclesiastes 4, verse 10. Talks about friendship, and verse 10 says, for if either falls, his companion can lift him up, but pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. And when we fall, we can't always get up on our own, right? We need those around us that are willing to recognize when we fall, because sometimes it's not so obvious. Encourage us where we need encouragement, challenge where we need challenge. And bring him to Jesus. Here's a couple other verses if you want to screenshot that. Proverbs 19:20, 17:17, 27:17, Job 42:10, and John 15:13. I have those if you want them later too. There's also some verses about friendship that come with a bit of a warning. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Proverbs 22:24-25, and Proverbs 12:26. To name a few. I'd encourage you to look over those verses, read those verses. I think they will encourage you and give advice on how to be a friend, a godly friend. This is a really encouraging story. I've really been blessed by reading about these friends. But it's not always easy to stay in that place where we believe what God says. Can we admit that? I believe that is one of the reasons that God gave us friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage us on our journey of faith. There's a song that I love to listen to, and I think it really grabs the heart of kind of that moment where you're kind of, I really want to believe what God's saying, but I'm struggling with it right now. Kind of, you know, help me in my unbelief kind of thought. I'm going to just read a few of the lyrics. And they're not up here, but I'll just read them for you. The song's called More Than Able. If you want to write that down, you can listen to it if you'd like. But it says, when did I start to forget all of the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe that you weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles? The chorus goes on to say, you are more than able. Singing to God, you are more than able. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? We can block people seeing what the miracles that God can do. We can explain them away, and that can hurt other people's faith. It can hurt our own by just not admitting what Jesus is willing to do and what he does every day. So I'm going to ask again, what's the attitude of your heart towards Jesus working miracles in you or through you. Yesterday when we were building the fence, my neighbor is not a believer, and I think it was a little odd to him that I could just come up with four guys that knew what they were doing. It was a little funny at the beginning because sometimes you have too many experts. Me and my neighbor were just like, tell us what to carry and where to put it, and we'll be there. But he remarked later on that there seemed to be differences of opinions, but yet the goal was the same for everybody. We want to build a safe fence that looks good for these two guys and do it as fast as we can. Some of us got a little too much sun yesterday. Beautiful day, but in talking to him, it was neat to be able to like hear him talk about the encouragement that he received from seeing our interactions and from seeing us laugh together and like work together. And the finished product was certainly satisfying. It's my wife and I, it's our heart to minister to them and to continue to witness to them. And this was a step that God used towards what might one day lead to their salvation. And I'm grateful for that because it was, in the end, recognizing that it was more than a fence. It was more than a fence. It was an opportunity for God to use some men of God to show someone who doesn't know Jesus what he can do in lives. So what is the attitude of your heart toward Jesus working miracles in you and through you? There's a lot of areas that we can be. We can be completely resistant. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know him. Don't want to know him. Or I'm curious. And what are these things you're talking about? This series in Mark, we get to walk this journey of Jesus not only performing miraculous wonders, but consistently teaching and showing the kingdom of God. I want to just encourage you, if you're stuck in that place where you're struggling and you don't you're struggling and you're finding it hard to see what Jesus can do, you're finding it hard to admit, I would suggest that number one, you need to go to God in prayer. You need to ask for him to open your eyes. And number two, you must surround yourself with people who are loving God and are serving God. Because one of the verses on our warning slide, I won't go back to it, it says, bad company corrupts good character, 1 Corinthians, the 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. That's in the Bible for a reason, because when we surround ourselves with those who consistently reject Jesus or reject what he's doing, that influences our hearts. So I want to encourage you, again, to surround yourself with those who love Jesus and serve together. Serve together. We're going to close in a little bit, but before we do, I'm going to pray to close this, but I want to invite you. I think I'm getting this out a little early, so we got some free time. But at 11 o'clock, we have our discovery hour coming up. We have our Salt class meets in the Cedar Room. Ladies of Grace over in Building B. The five going through the Old Testament, that is in Building D. Rooted Youth, that's an age-exclusive group. I'm not allowed. Upstairs, right? You guys meet upstairs. And then there's various sermon-based locations throughout this building. And, of course, our kids, Indescribable Kids Hour. I want to encourage you to join one of those groups. And in the sermon-based groups, we're going to be talking about this idea of surrounding ourselves with friends who love Jesus and will friends who will bring you to Jesus and being a friend that brings others to Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that your word is recorded for us so that we can read about your ministry here on earth. How you would just overcome obstacles to not only heal people physically, but to heal souls, and that you laid a foundation, you paid a price, a sacrifice to cover our sin so that we can have a right relationship with you. Jesus, I pray that we would be encouraged as we go and seek out relationships that would encourage us to serve you and to walk in the purpose that you've given us. We pray these things in your precious name, and we go in your peace. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.